Well, the first votes to be cast in the presidential election are just 2 weeks from today in the Iowa caucuses, 3 weeks from today in New Hampshire. Let's connect with both states and see what's really going on with Andrew Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center and a political science professor there, and Stefan Schmidt, professor at Iowa State University, also known as Dr. Politics, and a blogger for Our Politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Hi, Andrew. Stefan, thanks for coming on WNYC.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks a lot.
And the news right now seems to be Gingrich coming back down to earth in the polls after a barrage of negative advertising. Here is a sampling of what's all over Iowa TV.
Why is this man smiling? Because his plan is working. Brutally attack Mitt Romney and hope Newt Gingrich is his opponent. Why? Newt has a ton of baggage.
Iowa Republicans have a crucial decision. Which street will we choose? Mitt Romney, Wall Street. He made millions buying companies and laying off workers. Newt Gingrich, K Street. The lobbyist hangout in Washington. Newt got rich, made millions off of Freddie Mac. Or Rick Perry, Main Street.
Newt Gingrich. This guy hasn't got skeletons in his closets. He's got a whole graveyard in there.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
Ads for Mitt Romney, Rick Perry. The Perry one went after both Romney and Gingrich. And Ron Paul at the end there about the graveyards in the closet. Stefan Schmidt, how concentrated are the commercials now on attacking Gingrich?
You can't really watch television right now because they follow one after another. And finally, we have mud being thrown. I've been waiting for this for 5 months. You know, this is how politics is supposed to be. It's supposed to go negative. And boy, has it gone negative.
Well, I don't know about supposed to, but I guess it always does. The New York Times today says the biggest spender on these attack ads in Iowa is a pro-Mitt Romney super PAC called Restore Our Future. Are you familiar with them?
Sure.
And if that's a PAC and not the Romney campaign, who is it actually funding the ad blitz? You know, who cares so much about Mitt Romney, who isn't supposed to have any passionate supporters?
It's a lot of very influential people and organizations, and thanks to the Supreme Court, we don't really know who they are. And it's uncoordinated, in quotation marks, with the Romney campaign, of course, because it would be illegal if it was coordinated. But frankly, the ads that Ron Paul is running are actually the most brutal, and they are the most on target. And I think that accounts for a little bit of the rise in Ron Paul and the clear attrition here of Newt Gingrich, who is plunging.
Andrew, what are the latest New Hampshire polls showing?
Well, we're in the field right now, but we're seeing a similar sort of pattern. Newt had a bit of a boost here between Thanksgiving and now, but we're seeing that he's settling back down to earth. In fact, he's neck and neck with Ron Paul for second place here. Mitt Romney's been cruising along at about 40%, and he's still there. So we're not seeing much change at the top. We haven't seen the barrages of negative ads that they've seen in Iowa yet. I anticipate that they're going to start soon. And the ones that we have seen, similar to Iowa, have come from third-party organizations, which, of course, have no connection with the campaigns whatsoever.
Of course.
So we're not seeing things that are too much different. One thing that I have to say that is interesting that hasn't been talked about too much is that Republican voters in New Hampshire are actually more excited about this election than they were in 2008. So we're seeing that they've been about 10% more of likely Republican primary voters say they're extremely interested in this race than they were at the same time in 2007. And that's throughout the campaign, not just here at the end.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think this time around the Republicans feel that they've got a real chance of winning the presidency, and they're really mad at Barack Obama. The same sort of anger that that drove Republicans to the polls in 2010 is carried over. We're still seeing that among Republicans here. They may not like their own choice of candidates too much, and I think some of the up and down movements of many of the candidates really indicative of that. But they really think that I think what we'll see is that they'll get behind whoever the Republican candidate is because they want to go after President Obama.
Listeners, we always hear about Iowa and New Hampshire. Now you have a chance to ask questions of experts from both those states as the first votes near. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post or tweet to the usual places, including WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. I have a question for you, Stefan. In Iowa, why hasn't Rick Santorum done better than he's apparently doing? He was a Christian conservative leader in the Senate. I gather the religious right is a big constituency in the Republican caucuses. He was on the Armed Services Committee, so he's got some foreign policy cred. He's consistent, unlike Romney. He's not all zany, I think is the word, in the ways of Gingrich or maybe Bachman. And he doesn't have any scandals in his background. And I gather he's visited about every stoplight in Iowa. Why hasn't Santorum caught on?
You got me, although we have some pretty good information, which is that he always seemed as though he was the young kid in the debates. And remember, the debates this time around have been hugely influential in shaping the opinion of Iowa voters. They've been, even though Santorum has been on the ground and Bachman have been on the ground, those debates have really been highly influential in shaping how people look at the candidates. And I've talked to a lot of Republicans myself over the last months. They just don't think he comes across as presidential, strong enough to beat Obama, and as sort of mature enough politically. And I think that has hurt him quite a bit.
And what about Bachman? She won the Iowa straw poll early on and I think was number one in the polls at some point. She is a great debater in these televised debates. Why did she sink?
I think Bachman suffers in Iowa from what all women candidates have suffered from, and that is that Iowans don't vote for women candidates. We've never had a woman governor, we've never had a woman senator, and we've never had a woman in Congress, and we are only one of two states in the country, the other one is Mississippi, that has never elected a woman to those positions. Most of the voters that are going to go to the caucuses are older voters, and they just, even though they like her conservatism, just are not comfortable with a woman in a position of power.
Wow. Andrew, in New Hampshire, if Gingrich really hasn't caught on, if there wasn't a Bachman surge earlier on or Herman Cain, is it because New Hampshire Republicans, for all they're dying to get Obama out of office, as you mentioned before, they're just more liberal than Republicans in Iowa?
I think there's a couple things that account for that. First, turnout is so much higher in New Hampshire than in any of the other early states. For example, back in 2008, our turnout in the primary was almost 60%, which is more than some states have in their presidential election. And that means that it's not activists that are going to determine who wins or loses here. It's just regular voters. And that means those regular voters are far less ideological and far less they're far more influenced by just the popularity of the candidate or their name recognition of the candidate. Republicans in the Northeast in general, but in New Hampshire in particular, are pretty moderate Republicans by today's standards. And just as an example, on the two most important social issues of the day, on abortion, likely Republican primary voters here are more pro-choice than the country is as a whole. And on gay marriage, as you know, New Hampshire legalized gay marriage through the legislature 2 years ago, and the Republicans took over in 2010 and wanted to have said they're going to repeal that. But likely Republican primary voters are split over this issue. 43% favor, 45% favor repeal of gay marriage, but 43% oppose it. Now that's quite a different electorate than you see in other states. So it's a more moderate electorate. It's a less ideological, less politically attuned electorate. And that means that the candidates who are kind of fit that image do better here. And that's why we've not seen any of the conservative candidates do very well. Mitt Romney fits in very well with that group. He's been around 40% for the last 2 years, and no other Republicans really been able to get out of the low 20s.
Andrew Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, Stefan Schmidt, professor at Iowa State University, known around there as Dr. Politics and a blogger for Our Politics website. It's freecountry.org, 212-433-WNYC for everything you want to know about Iowa and New Hampshire 2 weeks before the first vote. And Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. My question slash comment is directly related to something that Professor Smith just said as it related to Iowa. I guess the one thing I'd like to know about Iowa is why do we care? They're so unrepresentative of the rest of the nation. It's just ridiculous. He just said they never have elected a single woman. And whoever wins the straw poll is almost never the nominee. So why are we even watching?
Easy. It's fun. It is the beginning of the novel. It's a dark and stormy night. You have to have an opening paragraph. And in the end, Iowa does send three people to New Hampshire who come in 1, 2, 3 here, who usually one of them wins in New Hampshire and goes on to get the nomination and sometimes even the presidency. So in spite of those numbers that I gave you, the fact that Iowa was sort of unrepresentative, remember Barack Obama got his essentially his launch in Iowa and is now president. So it's not a bad place for people to test their message. It's an inexpensive place. You don't have to stay in $300 a night hotels, and it gives candidates who don't have the big war chest at the beginning a chance to go out and show that that they're pretty good.
But it could, in theory, be anywhere, right? Anywhere besides, you know, New York, L.A., and San Francisco, if you're trying to avoid the $300 hotels. It could be any state, and it would get the same kind of juice just by virtue of being first, wouldn't it?
It might, but the Iowa caucuses, you know, are sort of remarkable precisely because they are much more difficult than New Hampshire primaries or other primaries. You have to actually make a real effort. You have to go out at night on a snowy winter night probably and be there at 7 o'clock and meet with your neighbors in the precinct. And so it requires a kind of deeper political commitment both on the Democratic and Republican side. And it makes for a really great story. And these people take this seriously in Iowa. I mean, people who go to the caucuses, they are not just going and kind of frivolously voting. They study the candidates and they want to know all the positions on issues. And so Iowa voters and Iowa political civic culture is very, very high. The voter turnout in New Hampshire is as high as in Iowa is as high as New Hampshire. These are states that have this high level of civic engagement, as political scientists call it. If you did this in some other states in the country, you would find that people really would kind of blow it off more. So it's an interesting place to start, and it really doesn't hurt the process. I mean, in the end, you have to win delegates in the delegate-rich states, and Iowa does not select the president. It just gives candidates a chance to show their feathers.
By the way, we just got an email from a woman who says, I don't care if Iowans never vote for women. It just means I'll never vote for an Iowan. David in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. I say this as a Romney supporter. I have listened to the debates. I have read the positions. I have no idea why all of you seem to say Romney is the moderate one. He has the same positions as everybody else. Either he's a conservative like the rest of them, or he's a liar. So I don't understand why they keep saying he's a moderate.
You want to take that, Andrew?
In the perception actually is more important than the actual reality. One of the things presidential primaries is that there's usually very, very little difference between any of the candidates on any of the major issues. The debates usually are talking about the shades of gray and differences between the plans and proposals that the candidates have. But Romney has specifically positioned himself as an economic conservative, but he's stayed away from the social issues, which is one of the things that I think really distinguishes the more conservative candidates in the eyes of people, of the eyes of voters, as well as people across the country. So if you think of the spectrum of candidates that we've got running this time around, they've consciously positioned themselves to try to fill certain slots. To the left of the Republican electorate, even though he's probably not as conservative as any of them, is John Huntsman, who's specifically trying to position himself to go after the more moderate vote. And in New Hampshire, Democrats or independents who can vote in the Republican primary. Next to him would be Mitt Romney, going after that big bulk of voters here in New Hampshire. And then moving further to the right, you get Rick Perry all the way out to Rick Santorum and Michelle Bachmann, with Ron Paul occupying his own special space among the libertarian groups here. So I agree with the caller in saying that Romney is not any less conservative on most issues than the other Republicans, but he's choosing not to emphasize some of those issues, particularly social issues, which most of the public associates with conservatism.
You mentioned Ron Paul. One of the headlines from Iowa right now, Ron Paul is tied for first in a major new poll. But that poll was taken before Thursday night's debates. And, Stefan, right after we play this clip of Ron Paul from Thursday night's debate, I want you to weigh in on how much you think his so-what attitude towards Iran and even blaming the U.S. for the enmity between the two countries kind of freaked people out watching that debate. Here's Ron Paul.
The whole world about the drone being in Iran, and we're begging and pleading, and how are we going to start a war to get this drone back? Why were we flying a drone over Iran? Why do we have to bomb so many countries? Why are we in, have 900 bases, 130 countries, and we're totally bankrupt?
Stefan Schmidt, did you hear the entire Republican base in Iowa gasp while watching TV on Thursday night?
I absolutely did. And this morning someone said to me, probably Ron Paul today will say, well, what's wrong with North Korea? Those are very nice people, and we should make friends with, the leaders of that country. We don't have any problems with North Korea. So on the foreign policy issue, Ron Paul has always been out there. And in that debate, he went off the cliff. And I think now that he's the front runner, by the way, and he is sort of the front runner, he is going to suddenly have that target on his back. And there's a lot of stuff about Ron Paul that hasn't been really discussed that will now probably appear in the next week in the commercials run by some of the other candidates. I mean, Ron Paul has a very sketchy history, a lot of relationships with conspiracy theorists and so on. And I'll bet you if he stays up there for another couple of days, you're going to see a massive amount of advertising to bring him down.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen an anti-Ron Paul commercial, because no one ever feared him enough, in an actual race to run one, maybe in his congressional district in Texas, I don't know. But you think that's going to be worth somebody's money in a couple of days?
Well, I think so, because obviously negative advertising has, in fact, caused some of that tremendous gyration of candidates. You didn't have to do too much with Donald Trump because people know who he is, but with some of the others, some negative ads about their capability as president or their ability to defeat Obama in debates in November, really made a big difference. And I think Ron Paul now becomes dangerously close to embarrassing some of the others here. And they've got a ton of money, and they can throw up some nice ads. They're probably already produced and ready to launch right now.
By the way, I heard one pundit on TV who said it may not actually hurt Paul that much, his Iran position, because Iowa is traditionally an isolationist state. It was even among the last to support entering World War II after Pearl Harbor. How much do you buy that analysis?
Yeah, but the conservative Republicans are a little bit more, I think, in favor of a strong defense, and they liked, Ronald Reagan, and they liked, the whole evil empire thing. So Democrats and independents in Iowa are pretty pacifist, actually. But I think the Republican base is not. They like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Christine in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good morning, all. I will end up voting for Obama, although he's been a disappointment for someone who's slightly to the left of Obama, like myself. But I would like to return to the start of the program when the point was made that the Republicans just want Obama out, and they have some sort of negative animus toward Obama. Now, what is the reason for that? Is it just old-fashioned garden variety racism?
Well, what are the main gripes with Obama among the Republican base at this point very briefly on the part of each of you. Andrew in New Hampshire?
Sure, I'd say it really comes down to politics. I mean, political parties exist only to win majorities and win offices, and they'll do whatever they can to get the other party out. I think it comes down to the fact that President Obama wears a different uniform than the Republicans do. I mean, put it in the Yankee Red Sox terminology, it's he's playing for the wrong team, and the Republicans want to get him out. But this is not any different than they would have for any president.
Well, that's from the Republican strategist's point of view. But in terms of the voters, there was a swing vote that went, you know, largely enough for Obama in New Hampshire and in Iowa, as around the country. Some of those people who maybe are not dyed-in-the-wool red Republicans have become disappointed with Obama, as have some people to the left of him, like Christine. But you didn't mention policy differences, and you didn't mention race. How much do you think?
I would say the policy differences are the biggest one, and it's really the economy. The president gets blamed for the economy. Voters engage in what's called retrospective voting, and if they feel the president hasn't done a good job on the major issues of the day, they tend to want to put him out. And with the economy still languishing, the president and the president's party, for better or worse, get the blame for it.
And, Stefan, only add to that if you have something different to say, because we're in the Republican primary now. We'll run Republicans versus Obama over and over again later in the year.
Well, I think race is a factor. I mean, it's hard to prove it. The Republicans have been very careful not to ever mention it, but I think it's a sub-message here that motivates a lot of people to not like him. The other thing is that Obama has been really a terrible leader. I mean, he has been uncommunicative. When he gives talks, they're getting a little bit better, but he has been for 3 years sort of doing things that sound like a seminar at a law school, and has not galvanized the base, managed to blow it in 2010, and therefore it seems sort of aloof and remote and intellectual, and I think a lot of Republicans don't like that about him. They think they call him arrogant, and they, you know, they think that he sort of thinks he knows everything. The health care bill and increase in the federal government obviously touches a raw nerve with Republicans who are essentially for smaller government, and that is one of the biggest big government things that's happened since FDR.
Two things, real quick. Andrew, one, why is New Hampshire so different politically from Vermont? They're both these New England mountain states. They're mirror images of each other geographically, but Vermont sends Bernie Sanders to the Senate, and New Hampshire sends Tea Party or Kelly Ayotte.
Part of it is history, but part of it is migration. First off, I would say Kelly Ayotte is not a Tea Partier. She's actually, I would say, Judd Gregg's twin. She's more of a moderate Northeastern Republican.
Okay, sorry about that.
But I think it has to do with migration. New Hampshire's the only state in the Northeast that's had significant migration, and a lot of it has come from Massachusetts. And it's not Democrats who've come from Massachusetts so much as that the last of the Northeastern Republicans who were in Massachusetts, which was once a Republican state, have moved over the border to New Hampshire. And then once people are here, they tend to stay the same party. So what we're seeing now is New Hampshire actually is shifting over to become a Democratic state, as the old Republicans who've lived here for decades are either dying or moving south for retirement.
And is there a soccer mom or anything of 2012 in either of your states? Some demographic, Stefan, that defines the swing voter or the surging voter, the foreclosed on dad, or anything that seems to be emerging?
Well, I think in Iowa, it's the Tea Party movement and it's Christian conservatives and social issues, a tremendous amount of pushback against gay marriage. Those things are more prominent now than ever. The homeschoolers have also reemerged. They've been there before. We have a very large homeschooling movement in Iowa, and they are extremely active politically as well.
30 seconds, Andrew.
Not really. I think it's just the economy here. Again, New Hampshire is largely a suburban state, a moderate state. Our economy actually is doing quite well, but I think that the economy languishing across the country is the thing that's driving voters to the polls, and that's what we're hearing mentioned as by far the most important problem. And this cuts across all demographics, so I don't think that there's really one specific group here other than maybe the group that are pro-Huntsman, which, again, are the Democrats that are going to vote in the primary.
Stefan Schmidt, professor at Iowa State University, also known as Dr. Politics, and a blogger for our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. The voting is 2 weeks from today in Iowa. Andrew Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center and a political science professor there, the New Hampshire primary, 3 weeks from today. Thank you both so much for coming on with us. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, now trending on Twitter, it's social media versus Lowe's home improvement over a TV show about American Muslims. Stay with us.